testing.
All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Please take a seat. Please take a seat.
These fancy digs.
Good morning and welcome to today's meeting of the Board of Public Works. Usually we have these meetings in the governor's reception room, but it is really nice to be here. And I want to say thank you to both the comptroller and the treasurer for hosting us in the treasury building this
great
morning.
Great to have you here.
We will be in our annual bond sale. Our proceedings are going to look just a little different. I just want to note for all of our attendees that at approximately 11:30, the board will be voting to ratify the sale of $800 million in state of Maryland general obligation bonds. If the regular business of the board finishes before then, we are just going to take a very brief recess, and then we are going to reconvene once that process is complete. With that, we'll get started with the business of the day. Mr. Secretary, good morning. It's good to see you.
Good morning, Governor. Good to see you as well. And good morning to you, Mr. Treasurer and Madam Comptroller. There are 14 items on the Secretary's agenda. Governor, as you said, so we'll hold that item to the appropriate time later this morning. I'm withdrawing item 6.
And with the exception of item 4, may I have a motion to approve the Secretary's agenda?
Motion to approve the Secretary's agenda.
And is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Secretary.
Yes, sir.
We'll proceed with the Department of Natural Resources agenda. Good morning.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller, Emily Wilson, Department of Natural Resources. We have 4 items on our DNR real property agenda today for your consideration. Happy to try to answer any questions.
No questions for me.
Great. Thank you so much, Ms. Wilson. Any questions? May I have a motion to approve the DNR agenda?
Motion to approve the DNR agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding.
Thank you,
Ms. Wilson. Good to see you. Thank you. We will now proceed with the University System of Maryland. Mr. Hickey, good morning.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller, Tom Hickey, representing University System of Maryland. There are 4 items for your consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Great. Is there any discussion on the USM agenda?
I do have a couple points that I'd like to make, Mr. Governor, if that's okay. Mr. Hickey, thanks for joining us. And I just want to let the Governor and Treasurer, you know, I will be voting no on item 1, GM, sub-items 1, 2, and 3. We know that the state is selling general obligation bonds today. That sale is happening right now in the basement, I believe. Very exciting. And it's fundamentally a promise that the state is making to bondholders, and that promise is backed by every single Maryland taxpayer. So it's something we can all take pride in. And, you know, that promise is used generally for things like building new public schools, establishing new state parks, helping to maintain local community centers. But I believe that this will be the first time, at least in the last decade, that anyone at USM can remember that GO bonds are going to be used for athletic facility upgrades. And I do not think that that is what these bonds should be used for, especially for an institution that generates $124 million in athletic revenue a year on its own. Historically, athletic facilities have been funded through auxiliary revenue bonds, private donations, Big Ten revenue, or the university's own resources, not by Maryland taxpayers. And in fact, when the scoreboard was placed in 2020, the same scoreboard that is now being updated for ADA compliance, that $15 million project was paid for entirely with athletic revenues, not with GO bonds, not with what we think of as public dollars. I'll also note that the fact that this is for ADA compliance concerns me as well. ADA compliance is not optional. It is not an extra. It is a legal obligation. And by punting the ADA requirements to GO bonds rather than paying for them through the normal method of using auxiliary revenue bonds, I think it demonstrates the universities sort of misunderstanding of their obligations under the law. In fact, in my past life as an attorney, I spent a lot of time pushing institutions, including this university, to meet these obligations, including ensuring closed captioning, including captioning so that everyone feels welcome at games. Don't think disability access for people with different abilities should be treated like an amenity funded through a special pot of money. It should be funded the same way that these projects are typically funded. And actually, we have an example of that later on in the agenda. If you look at the MDOT agenda, item 4C, they are completing ADA upgrades, and that funding source is the Transportation Trust Fund, which is what it should be. It's used for everything else. So I just am very concerned. I hope this does not set a new precedent at the University of Maryland, coming to the General Assembly and coming to us and asking for money to fund their stadiums, and I'll be a no vote on this today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other discussion?
If there's no further discussion, Ms. Secretary, we will we'll pull item one for a separate vote.
It'll be item one, GM, sub-items one through three, not item four.
Got it.
It's confusing. You got it. Okay.
So, got it. And so we'll take up the first item, item one for the subs. May I have a motion to approve those sub-items?
Motion to approve.
And I will second, and the sub-items passed with a 2-1 with the comptroller voting in the negative. On the remainder of the USM agenda, may I have a motion to approve the remainder of the USM agenda?
Motion to approve the remainder of the USM agenda.
And is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Hickey.
Thank you. We will proceed with the MDOT agenda. Mr. Domsky, good morning.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, my name is Valerie Radomski, Chief Procurement Officer for the Maryland Department of Transportation. Today, we are presenting 13 agenda items for your consideration, including 4 awards to certified small businesses totaling more than $5.1 million. We have representatives available to answer any questions you may have.
Great. Thank you so much, Mr. Domsky. Thank you. Is there any discussion on the MDOT agenda?
I don't have any questions right now. Thanks, Miller.
Okay. Motion to approve the MDOT agenda?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Mr. Domsky. Thank you. And we will conclude with the DGS agenda. Secretary Chaudhry, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, Ms. Treasurer. For the record, I'm Atif Chaudhry, Secretary of the Maryland Department of General Services. Today, the department is presenting 49 items in our agenda. We will be withdrawing one item, and that is item 30IT. Our agenda does feature 17 capital grants and loans, totaling more than $5.4 million. I did want to highlight one very briefly, and that's item 2 CGL, which provides a total of $125,000 to the Girl Scout Camp Aquasco for a roof replacement and new HVAC systems at their 172-acre site located in Prince George's County. As we continue to keep an eye on minority business participation in state contracting, our agenda does feature one contract action to a certified minority business totaling more than $1.8 million. We do have 3 contract actions to certified small businesses totaling more than $1.4 million. And we have AZ representatives here to answer any questions you may have.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. Yeah, I understand we have a speaker request this morning. So in the interest of time, we would ask that the speakers would limit their comments to no more than three minutes. And Ms. Secretary, if I can ask you to serve as timekeeper on that. We have our speaker request for item 7, which is a request to award a $100,000 capital grant to the London Town Foundation in Anne Arundel County for the first phase of ADA pathway construction work for the historic London Town and Gardens. I would like to recognize Robert Lott, who joins in person to speak on behalf of this item. Good morning, sir, and thank you so much for being here.
Good morning, Governor Moore, Treasurer Davis, Comptroller Learith. I'm Robert Lyon, President of the London Town Foundation. Joining me today is our Executive Director, Kristen DeMarco. Our 501c3 maintains and operates historic London Town and Gardens for Anne Arundel County. Historic London Town and Gardens consists of 23 acres fronting the South River in current-day Edgewater. The 1700s-era William Brown House, a National Historic Monument, is featured in our site, as well as 8 acres of beautiful, nationally recognized woodland and ornamental gardens. We're also proud to be a designated site of memory associated with the UNESCO Slave Route Project. As the governor described, this grant will result from consultation with the Maryland Historic Trust, supports the first phase of making our site fully accessible to all our citizens all the time. In colonial days, London Town's placement in the South River meant that public ferry crossings at London Town were quite busy with travelers, who included prominent leaders, Madison, Jefferson, Washington. In March of 1776, the Royal Navy sloop Otter sailed up the Chesapeake Bay, causing near panic in Annapolis and Baltimore. And it was ordered from Annapolis that Colonel John Weems Creek, immediately march his battalion to the South River Ferry and quarter half of his force at London Town to be ready to repel any attempt by the Royal Navy to land. In this, our nation's 250th anniversary, and in recognition of London Town's historic significance to early American history as a colonial port along the South River, I would like to invite each of you to attend our foundation's Toast to History celebration at historic London Town and Gardens in the evening of October 8th. You can expect to receive a formal invitation later this summer. Thank you for your time. God bless and happy birthday, America.
Thank you.
Amen on all that.
Sounds like an amazing place. Thank you. Yeah, off to come. That's great. Thank you.
Well done. Excellent work. Thank you. Thank you both. Thank you. I would also like to highlight item 11. Which is a request to award $2 million capital grant to the Keys Community Healing Village. And that's a construction of over 25,000 square foot facility for social services right in the heart of West Baltimore. It is a state-of-the-art complex that can provide a number of support services and support resources to the members of the Baltimore community, and that will include workforce development, it will include housing training, it will include holistic mental health and medical services, youth mentorship, and more than 1,000 nightly dinners during its first year of programming for the citizens there. It's an important project, not only because of the impactful work that it's going to be doing in the community, but also it just helps to represent the most concerted and community-driven ways to be able to address the issue of generational poverty, which I know is not just a focus of this moment, but frankly, is the scourge of our time. And this is going to be an important way to be able to help to address it, not just in West Baltimore, but also what we're seeing all across our state. And I want to thank our partners in the Maryland General Assembly for making this happen. I want to give a specific shout out to my friend Senator Antonio Hayes for his leadership and his just dogged determination in terms of making this happen for his district and beyond. With that, is there any further discussion on the DGS agenda?
Actually, I have a question. 17 is another extension, and so I'll be voting no on the extensions. But I wondered, Mr. Secretary, if there's an end in sight to the extensions, or if there's ever discussion with some of these recipients around the fact that they have 7 years and they should really not come ask for money if they're not going to be able to get it done in 7 years because other people need that money. And just curious if DGS provides that sort of guidance or if it's something we should be communicating ourselves, or just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
No, great. Thank you, Madam Comptroller. And I will say this is a result of DGS being more proactive. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, we were not proactive over many, many years, okay. And that's why we would see many of these grants come to termination after a seven-year period and ask for an extension. This stuff being proactive with the 2019 grantees to indicate that your funding is going to lapse.
Right.
Are you, in fact, moving forward with this project? We're also being proactive with current grantees, so new, and this falls in line with the new grant measures we've implemented. Prior to that, everything was a very, very manual process,
right.
And therefore things were lapsing. So I think with our new improved system,
what's coming more.
Yes, we're able to see it, be more proactive. As an example, we are now reaching out to grantees that have not yet reached out and started the initiating of their grant to make sure that they, number one, understand they have a grant out there, mm-hmm. and they have a strict timeline of 7 years to be able to expend that funding.
That's great. Okay. Yep. Thanks for doing that. Yeah, I appreciate it. I think it's important for us to let them know because it's true. There's so much so many great, you know, organizations who are doing projects. And of course, this is really reimbursement, right? These grants are reimbursement based to these organizations, and they're really important to help build capacity and help them continue to function. But we just want to make sure that they know that they can completed within 7 years, which is not a short amount of time. So, great. Thank you.
And Madam Comptroller, a lot of these grantees, what some of the issues were COVID-related and increased costs associated with labor and materials in a post-COVID world. So we're working through that with all the grantees now.
Yep, certainly. Yep. Thanks.
Yep. Excellent. Thank you. And so if there's no other for another discussion, why don't we start with item 17? And so on that item, may I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Okay, great. I will second, and the item passes 2-1 with the comptroller voting in the negative. And on the remainder of the DGS agenda, may I have a motion to approve the DGS agenda?
Motion to approve the DGS agenda.
And is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. That concludes the business portion of today's meeting, and we will recess and we will reconvene at 11:20.
And unless the treasurer has something to say.
Yeah,
the treasurer has a little bit to say.
That's good.
Is the Maryland Stadium Authority here? Is anyone available?
I think they say.
Can we get them back on?
Yes, let me reach out.
While we're getting them, Governor, so I can move this along as quickly as possible, I'll let everyone know why I'm asking about the Stadium Authority. Yourself, the comptroller, and the presiding officers, I think you do an amazing job trying to be wise stewards of the people's money. There are a lot of needs that we have in this state, and everybody thinks everybody else's project is superfluous, but their own project is make or break. You know, this is absolutely essential. Everybody else's is trash. You know, that's sort of how we go about this. But I get it. We got all of these needs, and we also have to manage, you know, what our residents are paying in these times of rising costs. We have to double down on just being responsible. And so where I'm going with this is, and for some it may not be a big deal, but as the state's treasurer, it's my job to be, and I think everyone else takes that same approach, to be as diligent as we possibly can in managing dollars. And so when people come and we find ways to fund projects, to give money, we expect that money to be used the way it was intended, and that it's not willy-nilly discarded as if these aren't real dollars. So where I'm heading with this is that I've been hearing reports, and certainly I've been getting calls from, you know, in my county, former constituents, and well, actually they're still current constituents, I'm just in a different role. They were asking me about a project that we funded. The General Assembly passed a couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago, part of the whole Blue Line Corridor. And that's the Largo Civic Plaza. We spent, and that's where I wanted to ask the Maryland Stadium Authority, in case my information is off, I want to be correct, but I think we spent roughly $10 million. And I think it came from lottery proceeds to build this plaza. I'm assuming a lot of thought went into this plaza, that all applicable laws, federal, state, and local, were adhered to before we signed off on a detailed site plan, and before, I don't know, a use and occupancy permit or whatever final permit was necessary. And then I'm reading and I'm getting information that the county has decided we don't like this. And so now we're just gonna fence it off, you know, give away the equipment. I'm assuming all of this is state money. and that there's been no discussion or talk of compensating the state for its investment that was made. First of all, it doesn't really matter to me whether it's state dollars or local dollars. It's actually taxpayer money. You know, whatever pot it comes through is taxpayer money. And again, we have a responsibility to be as diligent and as, you know, faithful over those dollars as we possibly can. I've had predecessors, Governor, you have, certainly you have, the comptroller. We may not always agree with what they did, but they were duly elected and so forth, just like we were. And so we have to live with some of those decisions, even if they aren't our own, because at the time that they were made by people who were entrusted with that responsibility. So again, folks, and I know I've taken the circuitous route with this, but the point of it is, you know, and I've been going around with this for a little while now, to say nothing and to watch $10 million just flush down the proverbial toilet like it's nothing, I can't do that. Somebody needs to answer to me, or explain to me, rather, why this is happening. But more importantly, since all of this was agreed upon before we gave the money, if we're now having second thoughts, how is the state going to get its money back? And if the state can't get its money back, then, you know, that's another conversation I think we need to have. But you don't just get to flush it down the toilet or dismiss it, and that's the end of conversation. You know, no further discussion. These are tough times that we're all living in, that we hear from citizens every single day, and we're doing something like this with no accountability. So, Governor, Comptroller, folks, forgive me, but this was something I felt I had to say, needed to discuss. I know what's coming, and I was built for this. So, you know, bring it. But somebody needs to explain what happened to our money, why the decisions were made, and how they're going to reimburse us.
Did you get them back on?
Yes, Governor. Mr. McGregor.
Yes, Mr. Secretary, can you hear me okay?
If you could speak a little louder, please.
Okay, will do. Good morning, Governor, Treasurer, Controller. Apologize for jumping off and happy to answer any questions. For the record, it's Gary McGuigan with the Stadium Authority.
Good morning. Not sure if you got a chance to hear the treasurer's comments. Did you get a chance to hear the treasurer's points?
I did not, sir. I jumped off after the secretary's agenda.
I can make this really simple. Are you familiar with the Largo Plaza in Prince George's County?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Where's our money?
Well, the $10 million was spent building a plaza that was designed or programmed by the county and approved by the county.
Let me stop right here. There's a gentleman from the director of the Office of Central Services from the county who said the county had no input in this. Is that an accurate statement?
It is not.
So if I can interpret it, what he probably meant was that the current administration had no input, but the county at the time that this was approved definitely had input in this. Is that more likely?
I think so. I don't know for sure, but the past administration had approval rights all along the way. It was part of the decision-making process. Had numerous community meetings, got input that shaped the project. So I would say that is accurate, sir.
And so to sort of wrap this up then, to the best of your knowledge, the state in good faith gave this money to the county. The project was actually, I think there was a ribbon cutting last April or May, and you know, or groundbreaking, and then the ribbon cutting was earlier this year, and right after roughly not long after the ribbon cutting, it was fenced off or shut down, and after spending $10 million, it appears, does it appear that we have nothing to show for that?
Well, we followed the MOU. The MOU was approved by the Board of Public Works 3 years ago, and that dictates the roles and responsibilities of the county and the stadium authority. The county comes up with the ideas of how to spend the money, which we vet, and then we execute. There was a ribbon cutting last April.
I'm with you on that. I guess what I'm saying, though, and yeah, the county had a lot of say-so in it, but as of right now, after we've had the groundbreaking and the ribbon cutting, and it's supposed to be open or operating whatever was agreed upon, we're now at a point where it's been shut down and discarded, and that there's nothing to show for that investment, except I guess maybe some fencing. Is that more or less?
Yeah, I would say that's a fair representation. We completed the project in December, and the county installed a fence immediately afterwards to not allow access to the property.
And then last question, but have they made any mention about reimbursing the state for its cost of this investment? Have they, you don't need to go into detail. I was just wondering, have they had conversations with the stadium authority about reimbursing it for essentially changing its mind on the project?
They have not, and there's no vehicle in the MOU for MSA to pursue that. And quite frankly, sir, I never would have seen a situation like this coming up. So there's nothing legally that the state can do.
So we're just out $10 million, basically.
Correct.
Well, thank you.
Well, let me follow up on that. So, I know what the expectation is of this board, and I know what the expectation that I have of this. We know that we will work with the county. Have there been any new directions or instructions about how that property, about a change in usage, or on anything else that we've received from the county?
Specific to that property, no, sir. We have discussions with the county about the future, and we had our first negotiation meeting last week on the MOU amendments that are needed and also desired by the county. And we are waiting for the county administration to come up with a list of new projects for consideration for execution under this program.
So just to be clear, where we are is that the county says they do not like what was approved prior, but have not put together new plans as to what an alternative could look like.
Now, there's been verbal discussions about what plans they would like to do. They indicated they would be submitting plans for two projects in the next couple of weeks, but we have not received anything today and are waiting on the county.
Okay. So we will, we obviously will be following up on this. You know, obviously, you know, our position is we will work in partnership with the county on ideas and thoughts. But as the treasurer correctly pointed out, these are funds that are authorized by the board, and these are taxpayer dollars. So we have high expectations as to how that capital is going to be used.
Because we got another $400 million.
100%.
This $10 million, with all due respect, is a drop in the bucket compared to the $425 million that's in the Blue Line Corridor project.
That's right.
And make no mistake about it, I care deeply. I grew up in that what's known as the Blue Line Corridor. So again, not to be messy, as the kids would say, but these are real dollars,
right?
And I know you know it. I know the comptroller know it, and I know everybody in this room knows it. We had the 17 capital grants and loans. What was that, $5.4 million? We heard there are people every single day looking for funding, and they go to great causes. And so, for someone or some entity or whomever it is, the $10 million is more than twice what we approved. And today, nearly twice as much as the $5.4 million we approved. And again, I know you get requests every single day for funding. So anyway, you all heard enough from me.
Good. Thank you. Now that's okay, we'll recess.
Yeah.
And reconvene. We'll reconvene in about 14 minutes. And we'll to conduct the bond sale. All of you are welcome to stick around if you'd like. Otherwise, you are 100% free to go. And the board stands in recess until about 11:20 this morning. Thank you.
Off the record at 11:03 until 11:20.
Stayed.
Ah. Everybody's so excited to hear about our bond sale.
Like, how did it go? At this time, I'd like to call up Secretary's Agenda Item 4 and recognize the Treasurer for the purposes of making motions to ratify the bond sale.
Thank you, Governor. I move that the Board adopt the resolutions before us today concerning the state and local facilities loan of 2026 First Series. In particular, I move that the Board ratify and approve the preliminary official statement dated May 27, 2026, the summary notice of sale for the 2026 First Series bonds posted on TM3 on May 20th, 2026, and the resolution adopted by the board on April 22nd, 2026, with respect to the bonds. Is there a second?
Second.
That's a little flippant.
Third.
All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Next, I move that Morgan Stanley & Company, LLC, be declared the successful bidder for Group 1 of the First Series tax-exempt bonds in the aggregate principal amount of $307,205,000 with a net premium of $35,999,197.36 and a true interest cost of 2.714757%. And I further move that Group 1 of the First Series bonds be issued in the amounts and maturities at the interest rates and prices set forth in the successful bid for the bonds. Once again, I would ask for a second.
Second.
All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. I next move that Jeffries LLC be declared the successful bidder for Group 2 of the First Series tax-exempt bonds in the aggregate principal amount of $260,870,000 with a net premium of $41,706,371.72 and a true interest cost of 3.195387%. And I further move that Group 2 of the First Series bonds be issued in the amounts and maturities and at the interest rate and prices set forth in the successful bid for the bonds. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Next, I move that Morgan Stanley & Company, LLC, be declared the successful bidder for Group 3 of the First Series tax-exempt bonds in the aggregate principal amount of $231,925,000 with a net premium of $31,080,904.40 and a true interest cost of 3.758685%. And I further move that Group 3 of the first series bonds be issued in the amounts and maturities and at the interest rates and prices set forth in the successful bids for the bonds. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes carry. And then finally, I move that the board authorize and approve the issuance of the final official statement for the bonds. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes carry. Madam Comptroller, thank you all very much. I'd just like to thank my debt management team and the host, really the staff of the State Treasurer's Office, Rebecca Ruff in particular. I shoot off my mouth a lot, and they back me up every single time so that we can deliver for the state. This undoubtedly, at least in my time being in the Treasurer's Office, we had seven bidders for each. If I got that correct, we had seven bidders each, which is the most that we've had. And our net premium this year over last year, we made $15 million more despite having half the sale, which is just phenomenal. We before fees, we did $108 million. We did $93 last year, and we had $1.7 billion in bond sales versus $800 million this year. So it couldn't have gone any better. And it's just through the hard work and, more importantly, the good reputation of the state. Maryland bonds are just good business. It's good business.
Well done. And congratulations to you and to your team on really a remarkable bond sale. And I think, to your point, just continues to highlight the strength and the foundation that this state sits on. With that, the Secretary's agenda, item number 4, is adopted. So thank you again, Mr. Secretary. And now with that, that concludes today's Board of Public Works meeting. The next meeting will be on June 18th. Thank you all for your time. Congratulations to the state of Maryland. And we are officially...
Off the record at 11:23.